People feel like making some noise tonight.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, Cookie Monster's favorite radio station.
Good night, Chicago! Brutal!
What do you like?
I love picnics.
What do you like?
I like me first, then my sisters and brothers.
What do you like?
Hitting this tin can with a spoon.
What do you like?
Messing up a room.
What do you like?
I like pina colada.
What do you like?
Dead, burnt bodies.
What do you like?
Sadists, known perverts, and Mormons.
What do you like?
Noise!
It is 11:33 in the AM. You know what that means. It's time for a noise, as it is every Wednesday on the almighty CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Luke Mead here at the helm. Coming up in the next hour and a half, we're going to, in honor of Mr. Charles Spearin from Do Make Say Think being in town on Saturday at the Biltmore Hotel, we're going to replay an interview I did with him about a year ago talking about his first solo album, The Happiness Project, one of the more interesting Canadian releases that came out last year, featuring random spoken word interviews with his neighbors and stuff like that. And he found the, just with their speech, he just found the musical intonations of them talking, and then he actually turned them into songs. And we discussed that for about an hour or so. That'll be on at 12 noon. But we're going to start off right now. I want to thank Mr. Mark Richardson right before me and the rest of the vendors at the Little Mountain Record Swap this weekend. Holy cow, guys. Let's do it again sometime. Because I scored a lot of stuff that was not, didn't bust the bank or anything like that, but also found some stuff that I've been looking for years. So we're going to have a little bit of a different direction in the set right now. Stuff that you wouldn't normally hear on a noise, but stuff that I really, really dig. A little bit more of electronic-y kind of stuff, if you don't mind. But this one, holy cow, ever since I first heard their name, when I first heard of Guided by Voices, I've been looking for these guys. This is Dementia Precox. You're not going to hear this anywhere else, guys. Tune in.
Thank you. Thank you.
come on out to Bob Marley's 65th birthday tribute on Wednesday, February 10th at the Royal Canadian Legion Hall. 10 pairs of free tickets will be given out to CITR listeners, so have your ears open for your free pair. That's Bob Marley's 65th birthday tribute on February 10th at the Royal Canadian Legion Hall, located on 2205 Commercial Drive. Be there, man.
No, I have not become a Rasta-smoking ganja dude or whatever the term is. I thought you got really concerned when I faded out the boredoms and faded in Bob Marley right there. But yes, Bob Marley's birthday. Our very own George Barrett has been hosting this, cripes, ever since I've been in Vancouver. So that's over 15 years. And it's always a good time. Either way, you're listening to A Noise here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Luke Mead here. And what did you hear? Well, some stuff I picked up at various record stores. Red Cat's new location, check it out. Kind of near where it used to be, a little further up Main Street in between. It's right past Not Just Another Music Shop, right beside Cinephile Video across the street from the Beehive. Bigger space, more records, same deals, always a great place to go. And then I mentioned it at the beginning of the show, the record fair at Little Mountain Sound. Holy cow, please make that more than a once-in-a-lifetime event. All of us had a good time, sellers and buyers alike. Anyways, and you heard something that I just picked up there, Dementia Precox. I did some research, got it for $15, did a little research on the net. Wound up on Discogs, it's going for €90. But Dementia Precox, kind of the first band out of Dayton, Ohio, all the way back to 1982. Nice amalgamation of like synthy punk and dance music. SCHP is the name of the record, and we heard Malade Esprit. One of my favorite kind of electronic tracks after that, Rental and Lear. Robert Rental and Thomas Lear, one of the first signees to the Throbbing Gristle's Industrial Records label back in 1979. That is off the Industrial Records Story. Great compilation, very hard to find. You heard Daybreaks, Night Heals. After that, some Chrome, a band that Dementia Precox were compared to quite a lot back in the day. And even Bob Pollard from the Almighty Guided by Voices compares Dementia Precox to Chrome. I don't really hear it that much, but they were two bands in very, very small towns kind of doing the same thing. Alien Soundtracks is the name there. I highly recommend you pick up everything by Chrome, but if you only need to pick up one, that's the one you need. Nova Feedback, you heard there. We had some Severed Heads from Australia off the Goodbye Tonsils 12-inch. That one's pretty hard to find, too, as well. That song's not very hard to find, but the song I played is the B-side, and that track was called Mount. After that, one of last year's favorite records of mine, Cold Cave, Love Comes Close, making a lot of people's best of lists. And who knows? I hear that they're touring, and I hear they might even be swinging by Vancouver, maybe in late spring. That was their first single, The Trees Grew Emotions and Died. And then we ended you off there with something I picked up this weekend as well, The Boredoms, off of their most recent North American release, Ant 10. It is four sides of complete chaos, all a la boredom style, and featuring remixes of the song Ant 10. And I just played you the original there. Well, a few things to get to. We're going to hear an old interview I did with Charles Spearin from Do Make Say Think and of the Happiness Project, both bands that are playing at the Biltmore Cabaret on this Saturday, February 6th. If you haven't seen Do Make Say Think before, I've heard wonderful things. If you're fans of that kind of constellation, you know, Canadian post-rock, call it what you want, you know, kind of art schooly noodling. But also got some tickets to give away as well if you're in a going out kind of mood. Health from LA, one of the it bands from last year, the darlings of Pitchfork and websites of the like, are playing with New Sensei, definitely one of my favorite bands in Vancouver, and Myths. February 4th at the Biltmore Cabaret, just give me a shout, be the third caller, 2487, that's 822-CITR. We're going to hear that just after some more important messages.
LiveVan.com is Vancouver's most reputable community-driven concert calendar. New shows are listed daily by the city's most prominent promoters, but also by you. The musicians and fans who are the driving force of our local music scene. LiveVan.com's listings are different because they're personalized. They're integrated with local music directories that are constantly updated by the bands, musicians, and businesses who refer to them as they pick locations and lineups for their newest upcoming shows. And no one's barred from contributing, since we all know fans know more about the players than anyone. So visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest major and independent event listings. And while you're at it, check out our archives and discover how closely we all work together in this community, putting on the shows you love.
Happiness is love. Happiness is love. Love make you keep happy. You can't just love yourself and you don't love other people. You got to love people. And the love is right there. It make you feel happy to know that you're my neighbor. And I love you. And you could able to come over to the to invite me over. What do you think that is? I'm feeling happy.
Same.
Yes.
It's a simple recipe, I guess.
Yes. I'm feeling happy. To know that, you know, somebody cares. And that's a big love. You know, I can come out through the door and I say, good morning. What make you feel so happy? Right? Love. That's what I find it is. Make you happy. I come out in the morning, I see Mr. Gary. I can say, good morning, Mr. Gary. I can sit and talk to him because I'm happy. I can go back in and I can smile and say, oh, we were changing thoughts this morning. Hey? So nice. So good. I love that. Love make you happy.
Can I get your name, age, and occupation, please?
My name is Charles Spearin. I'm 36 years old, and I'm a musician. I started playing guitar when I was 13, and kept playing guitar. Started a band when I was 16. The band was called the Dead Lemmings, kind of a high school punk band, and that was lasted for 5 years or so. And then I had a mediocre career as a live sound technician, but I still did music as well, and eventually went to recording engineering school and studied production and engineering, and at around the same time I started a band with my roommates, my new roommates, Justin Small and James Payment, and we called ourselves Do Make Say Think. That was about 95.
Can you give us a description of what Do Make Say Think's very first performance? I know it had something to do with a Canadian dramatic production or whatever, but can you elaborate on it? Because it sounds pretty fascinating.
There's some rumors. I've heard a bunch of different versions of the story, but the truth is our first few shows were actually at raves, because, of course, in 1995, raves were in full swing in Toronto, where, you know, they'd pass around flyers, and then you would meet at some secret location, and then everybody would be bused to a different location, and then there would be this massive party and crazy DJs, and then there would be kind of a chill-out room, and we would be the chill-out room band. We did that a couple times.
How was the response at those kind of events?
Fairly catatonic. That's what we were going for.
Thank you. that do makes you think get involved with the Constellation Godspeed kind of crowd or whatever?
Let's see. Well, the story goes is that one of the people in Godspeed bought our record at probably Rotate This in Toronto and brought it back to Constellation Records because we released it independently. We released it ourselves. We just made 500 copies and put it in local record stores. And anyway, it got back to Constellation, and they really seemed to like it. So they contacted us and came down, and they saw us play live, not at a rave. That was we only did that a couple times, but they came and they saw the show, and so we had met with them a couple times, and we liked their aesthetic and we liked their social idealisms, and decided that it would be a good match.
Once you got involved with being distributed on Constellation, did you feel like there was a certain stigma attached to it? Like, did you feel that you had to put out these elaborately packaged kind of conceptual albums? Kind of like it seemed to be the want of the label. It seemed. How do you feel about that?
Well, we really admire the Constellation aesthetic. We really liked the way. There's really two guys in the label, and they put a lot of care into the packaging, and they put a lot of care into the presentation, and they put a lot of care into the music and the bands and how everybody is treated and just respected. There's ways to exploit music, and then there's ways to exploit music that's appropriate, you know, and they seem to do a good job. So we were quite happy with the way we worked with them. They still are.
Thank you. Were you on tour with Godspeed during the infamous terrorist scare in Oklahoma?
No, we weren't with them on that tour. I know that one well. I believe they were at a gas station. I think they were just on tour, and they stopped at a gas station. And they got out of their van and with their scruff and their trench coats and their big beards and long hair, and somebody called in a terrorist alert. And they got called in by the police, and they got brought to the station and interrogated for 12 hours or something like that about what they're doing. And they went through, of course, all their records and their...
Well, these violin cases actually have violins in
them.
Yeah,
these violin cases actually have violins in them. And if you look at the Godspeed, or the... is it the Godspeed one? Yeah, the Godspeed Yankee UXO record. It has that that flyer on the inside. It says it's put out by the FBI or something like that. It reports suspicious behaviors and things like that.
The following song is intended to be heard in the vein of political satire in reference to the previous conversation and does not represent the views of Annoys or CITR 101.9 FM. Let's talk about the new album. The Happiness Project is entitled. Can you give us history on how this record came to exist?
Well, for a long time, I've been wanting to make music based on speech. I think a lot of people sort of sing when they speak. They if you listen to people when they get excited, there's all kinds of natural, beautiful cadences in people's voice. And people don't really pay attention to it when they're talking. Their voice goes up and down, and they're very expressive, but they're not singing, so they're just paying attention to the meaning of their words. They're not particularly paying attention to the sound of their words. And so I wanted to find a way of taking these little accidental melodies and turning them into songs. So I invited my neighbors over. I live in downtown Toronto, and I basically just started asking them questions, about life, and tried to steer the questions towards something maybe a little bit more philosophical than, say, talking about the weather. So, and I wanted to stay away from talking about religion or politics or anything like that, because they're a little bit inflammatory, and it's nice to just have your neighbors over and talk about happiness. And so I recorded the voices and listened back for moments in the interview that had both a nice cadence and an interesting meaning. And then I would figure out how to play the cadence of their voice on different instruments. I did some of it myself and some of it with the help of my musician friends. And then basically took these melodies and arranged them as though they were songs.
I believe I've learned more. I have a part-time job with challenged young women, and they're having a time. They're having a time, and I say, expectations are so simplistic. Not to say it's simplicity because they're challenged. No. It's like they don't ask beyond of what's present. It's like they don't ask beyond of what's present. It's like they don't ask beyond of what's present. It's like they don't ask beyond of what's present.
First thing I thought of when I put on your record was Different Trance by Steve Reich and Kronos Quartet. Was there any influence in there at all? Or?
Well, there was. It's in a way, I've been wanting to do this project for a very long time, and I've always been sort of in love with the sound of well, just this accidental sounds of, that sound very musical in life. And so I've been thinking about doing this project with a sound with using speech and that sort of thing. And then I came across Different Trains by Steve Reich, and it kind of put a little wind into my sails. So I was like, oh wow, that's amazing, and it really is possible to take it. 'Cause he only used a few. He would use 3 seconds as the whole piece. Mm-hmm. Different Trains every time, and then he would say, from New York to Chicago, mm-hmm. different samples, and they're just. Just sort of snippets, and I wanted to see if I could use more and do actual conversation the same way.
From Chicago. Cut chain to New York. 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 New York.
I do 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 40, 1940, 1941.
1941. I dug a little bit deeper in the history of this kind of music, the voice, like using cadence and voices and putting music behind it. Have you heard of a piece called John Somebody by Scott Johnson?
I've heard of it. I haven't heard it.
Okay, it's on Zadok, and it was released actually in 1986, so 3 years prior to Different Trains, and it was done entirely with analog tape loops. And the biggest rave that most reviews have been saying about it is that he used to play it live, and he would keep, like, it being analog, it made it very, very difficult for him to keep up with the actual, you know, how the time shift and stuff like that.
Right.
How did you record your voice treatments?
It was done digitally on Pro Tools.
Okay, can I suck you into the analog versus digital argument, or does that argument even exist anymore?
I don't think it exists anymore. I mean, it's the digital is just too convenient, and it sounds good, and it just opens up too many possibilities. I spend years and years recording on analog, and I still love it. I think it's great, but it's just the convenience of digital has won over.
You know who's in New York? Remember that guy, John somebody? he was a John.
Somebody,
he was a.
You know
he was sort
in
of
New
a,
York?
Remember that guy? John somebody?
You know
sort of a, he was a.
Remember that guy?
He was a John somebody?
Did you actually transcribe the voice samples onto like dots on paper for the musicians to play along or anything?
No, I didn't do that. I did a little bit that. We've done a little bit of that now because we're trying to figure out how to play it live. But when, for the recording process, basically we would listen to, you know, 3 or 4 seconds at a time and loop it. And when you loop music, you can, when you loop speech, you can really hear the melody in it quite clearly. So we would figure out 4 seconds at a time what the melody is and then move on to the next 4 seconds until we've got the whole, whatever, minute of conversation that I wanted to do.
I was born deaf, so you know, people often ask me over the years, what do you hear? And I couldn't really answer because I didn't know what it was like to hear. So how can I compare? It was just the way life was for me, the way the world worked for me. So it's very natural for me not to hear in the way you would hear. Right. Lip reading came very naturally to me, very sensitive to vibration, the movement of air in the house. I could be up there and I could tell when somebody, a particular person, comes in the house because I can smell. Anyway, so I was very happy the way I was fine. I was a happy person.